today on Real Radio.
Paul the Apostle says, I'm following Jesus style. Follow me, says Paul, as long as I'm following Jesus style. Do you get that? You know what that's called? That's called church. It's called the last 2,000 years.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter, with a message titled Ministers, Each and Every One, Part 3. Peter was, of course, a disciple of Jesus Christ who later on became the leader of the first church. Throughout his ministry, Peter lovingly cared for others and faithfully pursued his passion to spread the gospel to those around him. Peter understood the power of God's love and set an example for all true believers to live by. Previously, from the first section of chapter 5, we discovered what it means to truly be a Christian, how love and encouragement go a long way in the body of Christ, to care, protect, and watch out for each other, and correct God's people through suffering and turmoil is what ministry is all about. Love experienced is a love we can share with those around us and with those who live among us. So today, on day 2 of this message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that Christians are called to stand up for righteousness. One true believer in Jesus Christ really can make all the difference in someone's life. And you know, the truth is, to get involved serving the Lord requires humility. And now, from his message called Ministers, Each and Every One, Part 3, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Now, church, I got to say this. I'm not going to show it. God stopped me from showing it, and I'm really glad. I thought I was supposed to show you. Were you here last week? Seven of you were here last week. Do you remember when I mentioned certain names of guys who are bad shepherds?
Yes.
I named them by name. That upset some people. And why would it upset you when I should have done what Paul did? Paul not only named them by name, the names are in the Bible, but he sent letters to all the churches that those guys are out running around fleecing the flock of God. And then on top of it, Paul said, may God reward them according to their deeds. He just dropped them. All I said was there were certain guys on TV asking for millions and millions of dollars to buy their jets. $45 million jet, $60 million jet, $65 million jet. And I said that, and then, listen, my phone started lighting up middle of this last week. And I was asked this question. Did you see the news? No, what? CBS News? ABC News? Yeah, you guys are nodding your head. Everything you talked about on Sundays in the news. Did you kind of were you involved in that? Like, did you give Inside Edition the information? Wow, you give me too much credit. That'd be amazing. Well, this thing broke on the news, and it's a scandal, and it's all this stuff. Yeah, isn't God amazing? Because listen, that story, by the way, by Inside Edition that broke on all the news outlets, they had been making that for months. I didn't know it was coming. Nobody at Inside Edition told me. I didn't know. But I knew somebody who knew it was coming. And we were here teaching on the last week and the week before that. It just so happens God knew that story was going to break. And you know what it ought to tell you? They don't know me. I don't know them. It's better than all that. God knows exactly what's going on. And we should sit up and take notice that we heard about it from the Holy Spirit last week by name. And then God reveals the whole debacle in the middle of the week last week. What should that do to us? It should cause us to be serious. It should cause us to stand up and say, wow, you don't mess around, God. And some of those things, look, it's all over. Mocking all of the programs, internet television shows and normal TV programming and cable and satellite. They're laughing, making fun. Oh, look at these Christian ministers. And it's a mockery. Jesus' name is being mocked. Christianity is being thrown under the table. I was going to show you some of the clips, and it's so disgusting that I couldn't do it. And you know what? That millennial program, the Young Turks, mock and ridicule everything that we stand for. I watched it, and I agreed with every word they said. Wow, look at this Christianity we're seeing. It's a joke. That's true. The Christianity you're seeing, it is a joke. Man, all these preachers going around lining their pockets with millions. True again. That's right. I saw the news also. You see what they're doing? They're taking the actions of a few and they're clumping everybody in on it because it feels good to be able to say, Christianity's broken. We don't have to pay attention. It's a joke. Let's leave it behind. Let's move on. What can you say to those people, those atheists and unbelievers? You can't defend that. And yet some Christians in the nation this last week, some of their names breaks my heart. They're defending that kind of stuff. On the upside of this, the word example would be in 1 Corinthians 4:15, Paul said, for though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, you may have 10,000 Bible teachers, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you, and here it is, imitate me. And I'll explain this in a second. 1 Corinthians 11:1 says, imitate me. Here's the qualifier, just as I also imitate Christ. Do you know what that means? It means that whoever is over you spiritually, you are going to pick up what is being given by them. It's a law of God. It's a spiritual law. Gravity is what it is. It's a natural law. A spiritual law is the church that you attend. You are going to become like that vibe, that feel that is set by the leadership of the church. The leadership of the church should be terrified for setting a standard that may be a little off of what Jesus' standard is. Are you hearing me? That's what this whole thing about imitate is. Paul says, imitate me as long as I'm imitating Christ. Do you see the pathology? Who's our chief shepherd and our role model? It's Jesus. As Christians, all of us are servants. So this applies to all of us. We are to follow Jesus, Jesus style. Paul the Apostle says, I'm following Jesus style. Follow me, says Paul, as long as I'm following Jesus style. Do you get that? You know what that's called? That's called church. It's called the last 2,000 years. That's what we do. If there's a departure from that, something's wrong. And we need to watch it. You see, but Jack, I'm not a preacher. I'm not an evangelist. I'm not in the public eye. That's just one little fraction of the church. By far, you are the bulk of the church. You're the heavy lifter, so to speak. Because you're the ones that are at IBM. You're the one that's at Raytheon. Or you're the one that's working at the city. You're the one that's the landscaper. You're the one that's the school teacher. You're invading the world every day you get up. And you set forth an example. The world is foreign. They'll never read a Bible. The people that you come in contact with, you are the Bible. They make all their judgment calls like the world just did regarding those airplane people. The friends at your work, they're looking at you and they say, well, I don't read the Bible. I don't care about the Bible, but I'm watching that guy. And you know it too. They don't read the Bible, but when something happens in your life or in the world, they come up and they ask you about it. They may have already asked you this week about the airplane guys. You should have an answer for them. It's really simple. Answer, that offends Jesus. That stuff offends God. Don't worry, friend. He'll come back and fix it later. What about your soul? Examples to imitate. I want to encourage you. Watch this. This is fun. It's good. It's global. Throughout church history, thank God, our recorded church history has awe-inspiring examples of men and women who, in their culture, in their world, for Jesus' sake, changed the world around them. Clement of Rome, for example. Polycarp of Smyrna. You should go to Amazon Prime, go down to documentaries, and click on Polycarp. It's fantastic. Well done. Accurate. Excellent. Amazon Prime. Documentaries. Polycarp. Luther, Martin Luther, same thing. John Knox. Men whose lives were dramatically changed by the gospel and they wound up changing the world around them. God wants to do that with us. Justin, Irenaeus, Augustine changed the world around them. And there were always leaders in their lives that shaped them. What about William Wilberforce? You've heard of his name before? Raise your hand if you've ever heard of slavery before. Not sure, some of you? Slavery. Wilberforce was born in 1759. He died in 1833. He had a tremendous impact upon our founding fathers. William Wilberforce, a Christian, who, by the way, graduated from seminary in London, but he was going to be a preacher, a pastor. And his friends talked him out of it and said, you need to go into government. You need to make a difference. Big one. Check this out. I'm reading to you. A Christian who eventually put an end to the slave trade in Great Britain, William Wilberforce, was a Christian abolitionist who also served as a member of England's House of Commons. Wilberforce campaigned tirelessly for the abolition of slavery beginning in 1789, and for 44 years he stood often alone. But at the end of those 44 years, just before he died, he learned that Parliament passed the Abolition Act by which, listen to this, by which 700,000 slaves were set free in the United Kingdom. Think of it. Yes. One man stood up. One man stood. This is wrong. Slavery is wrong. And for 44 years he fought. And God in his grace allowed him, just before he died, allowed him to see that victory. And that movement, by the way, spurred on the abolitionist in the United States with the most influence. Three guys that were partners in their abolitionist position. That was Dr. Benjamin Rush, the first Surgeon General of the United States. The other guy was a guy by the name of John Adams, the second President of the United States. And the ringleader of the abolitionist movement in the United States was none other than Thomas Jefferson. And you need to think about that, because you're going to text me saying, didn't he have slaves? Yeah, he had slaves. Well, wasn't he just a white, rich slave owner? Nope. You need to get to know Tom before you throw that modern day public education stuff out. It's hard to turn a big ship, friend. If he was to release his slaves, they would have starved to death or been killed. There was a method and there was a way. And those three men risked their necks against England for speaking to England regarding the abolitionist movement, and Wilberforce was their nucleus for that. The Roman citizen by the name of Telemachus, a Christian in Rome, on January 1st, New Year's Day, 404 AD, he went to the Colosseum for the first time to witness gladiatorial games. As he witnessed one man slaying another, Telemachus was so offended and so enraged by the human carnage that he jumped down out of the stadium seating and onto the Roman arena. He ran between the two gladiators and stopped them where they stood. And he pleaded with them, saying, and I quote, "This is not right. This cannot be right. This will never be right. Stop now this murdering." It is unclear if the crowd or the gladiators themselves killed Telemachus, but he was killed in his attempt to stop the killing. What did happen, when the Roman emperor saw what had taken place, he was so moved by his conscience that he ended the gladiatorial games that day and banished them from Rome forever. Did you know that? A Christian. One Christian man jumping down and getting into the arena. God would have one Christian man, one Christian woman, One Christian young man or young woman on the campus jump down out of the stands and get involved and stand for righteousness. William Carey, the father of modern missions. William Carey, in 1761, William Carey was a cultural anthropologist. He was a social reformer. He was a Bible translator. He was a pastor. He founded the oldest and first university in India that awarded degrees. William Carey, a Christian. William Carey eyewitnessed the death of a man, and as though it were nothing, the man at his funeral, the Hindus, in honor of that man, performed Seti, I think it's called. And what does that mean? It means in Hinduism that when the man dies, his wife is then burned on a fire over where the husband lay. She's burned to death. This is a practice in Hinduism. William Carey saw it, and William Carey went to work on it, and William Carey got it illegal in India for these widow burnings to take place at the death of the Hindu husband. What do you think about that? Do you think the Christian should have stayed out of that business? Do you think the Christian should have been quiet about that? I don't think so. I'm sure there's a lot of Indian women walking around the world back in those days very grateful for Mr. William Carey. And I'm sure there's a lot of gladiators and a lot of others that were scheduled to die on the arena of Rome. They became very glad of Telemachus, who took a stand. Remarkable. Or a William Wilberforce. Examples. That's another example of taking care of the flock. It's broad and it's amazing and it's there for us to experience. And I believe it's there for us to get involved with and to do as believers. And so this, I want to make sure we bring this on a timely end. One more verse before we begin to wrap this up in this section. Acts chapter 20. I wish we could just see this in real life. Acts chapter 20, you guys, talk about what a great standard for example of what ministry should be. And again, all of us should learn from this and judge ministries. Paul is now old. He's heading off to Rome. He's going to get his head cut off. He gets down to the beach, and this is what happens. From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus and called for the elders, the shepherds of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, "You know from the first day that I came to Asia, in what manner I always lived among you," he says. That's okay, right there, that's an awesome thing. Where did Paul live when he was in Asia? Among who? The people. Verse 19, serving the Lord with all humility. Something tells me Paul not only didn't have a jet, he didn't even have a black donkey with tinted windows. With many tears and trials, which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews. That's the religious Jews, the religious hierarchy. We're trying to kill them all the time. Verse 20, how I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed to you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, repent because you've offended God, and Jesus Christ is your way out of that judgment. And see, or behold, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city. The Holy Spirit was speaking to people, telling Paul, you're going to Jerusalem, and it's not going to go well for you, bodily. Not going to go well. Verse 24, wow, what a man of God. None of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Verse 25, and indeed, now I know that you all, it's from Texas, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God will see my face no more. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men. This is amazing. What does that mean? It means he preached all the truth of God to all the people. And those days, that was from Genesis to Malachi. Wow. And I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore, take heed to yourselves. Remember, he's speaking to the pastors. And to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which is the which he purchased with his own blood. Jesus bought the church. Jesus, listen, Jesus owns the church. He owns you. He has called people to be ministers to serve you, to take care of you. At this moment, as I said a few weeks ago, I'm elevated above you to speak so all can connect. We can connect. But in ministry reality, I should be under your sole of your shoe. That's vitally important. Church, we end here with this. It goes simple. Jesus Christ, verse 4, our motivation should be this. The chief shepherd's coming back. Jesus is coming back. That should be the motivation. There's no way of getting around it. Our motive is the example. And that example is the fact that Christ is coming back. Ministries, pastors should not bicker about this. Oh, let's debate that. He's coming back. Get ready. It should be your motivation. He's coming back. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:31 regarding this, whatever you eat, whatever you drink, whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. Why? He's coming back. He's coming back. He's the example and the motive of that is awesome and glorious. And we end with this. Our example is the reward. Verse 4 shuts it down here when he says, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. So we want to serve the Lord because God is alone worthy. We're his slaves. We're his servants. He wants to use us. He wants to use us to be examples. And remarkably, in the end of life, Christian, listen, at the end of life for you, if you're a believer, if you trust Christ, the end of your life is the beginning of your life. The end of your life is the beginning of your life. And the Bible says that in the end, the example that you and I have been faithful to uphold for the glory of Jesus will someday be rewarded. Jesus himself is going to do that. I think that's amazing. He's not going to have an angel do it. That's good. He's going to do it. Jesus will do it.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Ministers, Each and Every One, Part 3. Thanks for listening today. And you know, the world really saw no greater example of deep, pure, and abiding peace than in our Lord Jesus Christ. Ministers, Each and Every One, Part 3, is part of Pastor Jack's series called Anchored, A Study in 1 Peter, a series that takes us through the life and times of the Apostle Peter, whose love for Jesus Christ carried him through great persecution, and whose compassion for others still inspires us today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. And just a reminder that there's more to real life than our radio program. Join the thousands of others who watch and listen to Pastor Jack's YouTube channel. His channel is called Real Life with Jack Hibbs, where you'll find messages, Bible studies, engaging interviews, live event videos, and a whole lot more. The Apostle Peter knew firsthand the power of knowledge and how sharing that truth during uncertain and perilous times can really make a difference in someone's life. So, head over to that YouTube channel, Real Life with Jack Hibbs, and be sure to hit the subscribe button. You can also access Pastor Jack's YouTube channel through our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.